Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. That is, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Please make the sunnahs in the back right here, my brother. Tasneem, make the sunnahs in the back there. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. Praise be to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mode. وَبَعَثَ نَبِيِّينَ مُبَاشِرِينَ وَمُنْزِرِينَ and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ and I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكِ His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ To Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ In His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ And he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Qur'an was revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray, اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وَبَارِكْ عَلَى سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله and upon his family وصحبه and upon his companions أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Indeed, we have sent it down as an Arabic Quran so that you can use your intelligence. Another ayah, that was the reading of the second ayah of Surah Yusuf, chapter 12. Another 39:28. قرآن عربي غير ذي عواج عواج لعلهم يتقون. صدق الله العظيم. The first reading, indeed, we have sent it down as an Arabic Quran so that you can use your intelligence. And the second is an Arabic Quran without any deviance, that you might become conscious in the way that Allah intends for you to be conscious. Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu an, he reported that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, said, the superiority of the words of Allah over all other words is like the superiority of Allah over his creation. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the second in a new series on the Quran as a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the focus today, and the whole of it, is the Quran was revealed in Arabic. Much of, and indeed, all that we intend to say, no matter how long the series goes, it's about getting that fact clear and understanding the significance of it. When we understand the significance of it, we'll get the mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for us to have as Muslims. Because if we use anything other than what Allah has given us in the revelation, no matter how good it functions in the world to get things and stuff in the world, if it's not moving us closer to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for us individually and collectively, it's just something that's good for all of its temporary purposes. We want to get what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent when he sent the revelation. Here's an analogy that very direct. You know, I understand that the postal workers are suffering more attacks and threats nowadays. They're, you know, being robbed. Mail carriers being robbed, right? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the messenger of Allah. He is the messenger of Allah. And what does he bring? What he brings the Quran. And what do they say that the postman delivers? He delivers letters, right? Because you know you got a whole package, but it's called I got a letter for you. But inside of a letter is a whole lot of words, right? Thinking about it in the context of Allah as the messenger of Allah. So Allah gave a message. We know it came through the angel Jibreel, the way that the process goes. But what was delivered was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to be delivered. So Allah sent his revelation to Muhammad. So let's make Muhammad the postman. Muhammad got the letter. And when he brought it to us, that is by way of in that role as a messenger, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad, he brought us the letter. But you got to open the letter up in order to know what the sender sent. So Allah said he revealed the Quran in Arabic. So one of the first lessons that we should take, the Quran is not the Arabic. The Quran is not the Arabic. The Quran is not the Arabic. But don't be stupid. I just have to put it that way. Oh, so I don't need to learn the Arabic. You damn sure do. Excuse that English statement. Yeah. Do you have to open the envelope in order to find out what's in the envelope? Or are you just going to be sad, oh, I got a letter from Uncle Joe, whatever. Yeah, I got a letter. What did he say? I ain't opened it up. Well, the Quran is a letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you want to know what he said? You got a letter from Allah, and you're not doing what it takes to open the letter up to know what Allah said? Or you going to let somebody tell you, okay, this is what's in the envelope? No, I'm being facetious. My hope is, in the best spirit, brother and sister, you got, your and my power awaits our opening that revelation and allowing it to come in like rain and touching our innate potential like a seed and opening up that potential that Allah gifted us with so that we can bring it to bear on His plan for the earth in creation. That is, when God says, "Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa," I'm making on the earth a khalifa, the Quran, its revelation and its impact on your potential and your gift arising in consequence of that contact of the Quran with your potential, now you have a power that you can bring to bear in the world to help realize Allah's will on the earth. To delay that is to delay making your contribution to Allah's plan for humanity. So I'm going to take a little time to be, let's go ahead and make this a reminder. Khutbah, when you hear the word khutbah, don't say sermon. Don't say even preaching. No, I'm not going to say it. I won't go preachy sometime. But I'm outside the khutbah when I do that. It's like, okay, we going from the khutbah to the preaching thing now. Okay, inshallah. We have mercy on me and forgive me, right? But khutbah, several things it means. But the formal way of understanding khutbah is a lecture. Very much like a seminar. It's not like church. The aim is not at your emotions. The aim is at your intellect. And then your heart is educated by it. Much to be said about that, because I want you to understand this, the approach that I'm taking, because I'm about to speak to you about animal language, human language, and higher language. And I want you to understand it. I really want us to understand it in hopes that will motivate you, because you need to know. When I say you is me, I'm out there with everybody. Are you on an animal level of language? Are you on a human level of language? Or are you on a higher level of language? The Quran comes to put us on a higher level of language. So let's go ahead and just understand what the nature of language is. So my intention right now is for us to be able to make the distinction between those three: animal language, human language, and higher language. So there are signs, here three words. Signs, we're used to hearing that word, signs. Now, stay with the S-I-G-N, sign. Now add signal. So you still have sign in that, but you just add the A-L, you got signal. All right? Then there's another one, designator. Designator. It's like the word design, but add an A-T-O-R. But you see, S-I-G-N is in all three words. Don't let what Shaitan has done to us in the world, especially Belalians, what the Shaitan has done to us, oh, it's going too far, it's got three syllables in it. So it's like, come on. Trust your intellect that Allah has given you. In you is the knowledge of the nature of all things. If you believe Allah, you already know what I'm talking about. All I'm doing is reminding you of what you already know. All right? Signs. Signs break up into two things, signals and designators. Signs, signals and designators. Okay. So both human beings and animals use signs. Signs are either the two that I just mentioned. They're either signals or designators. What's a signal? A noise or a gesture that an animal makes, for example. If an animal, he made a noise, but the ones who know that language, hey, you better look out, look to the right. You see that snake, that cat, that whatever it is over there? Say that, hey, jumping up and down on the branch. Birds, same thing, dogs, each one has their signal. The thing is that the signal relates to something immediate, an immediate threat, an immediate benefit. All of those things have to do with it. It's like, you know, I know where the food is. I know where the enemy is. They're just fake signals that are designed to do it. That's animal language. Animal language relates to immediate things. Now, move that aside, designator. Designator. Words are designators. They can speak about things that are not immediate. So this is one of the first distinguishing features between animal language and human language. And that is, signs are either directing our attention to something immediate, as I just explained, and designators, now here comes another word, abstractly pointing to objects. So it's a big word in its meaning, abstract. Animals can't talk about the past. Animals can't talk about the future. You know what I'm saying? Even if we were to credit them with any kind of ability to speak. But all of their signs and signals and noises and gestures, etc., they all relate to something immediate. So that's the boundary of animal language. Human language can speak to the past, can speak to the future. Obviously, can speak to the present. Human language can deal with unseen matters. Human language can capture time, yesterday, tomorrow, this afternoon, whatever. These are concepts that human language can grasp. So if you got the two distinctions, you have signs and then you have signals and designators. Basically, animals are really restricted to signals, even though human beings have signals too, but the movement, the transition from animal to human language is the ability to speak to abstracts and about abstracts and point to things that are not immediate. Let's use smoke as an example. Smoke. When you see smoke, and we already have it in the language, where there's smoke, there's fire. What is that? The smoke. Yeah, and they say smoke signals. You're sending up smoke signals. That's what it is. Smoke is a signal. It's a signal that there's some fire somewhere. It's a signal. Listen now. When I spell the word F-I-R-E, and if I say fire, right, that's a designator. The smoke is directly tied to the fire. But the F-I-R-E, the word, is not directly tied to that thing called fire. It's a designator. It's a word that is carrying many meanings. Listen, come on, in the hood. Man, that was fire. Somebody said that's fire. Now, somebody know what they said, but other folks, you know, take it back to my day, right? Man, that was bad, man. That was bad. Wallahi, seriously, this really happened. Listen. I thought there was an anti-drug concert that was happening, and, you know, Ice-T was going to be there, and this and so many other, at the Coliseum. I thought it was an anti-drug. I really thought it was an anti-drug. I went to the show. I think it was called Dope Jam or something like that. I still didn't get it. It was like, yeah, we're going to do some anti-drug thing. Man, I got up in there, man. I'm smelling marijuana and little pups fighting each other. You know how it go. A fight break out over here, then a fight break out over here. What the hell? You know I left, right? But there was a language problem there for me, right? So the idea is that designation, the difference between the smoke and the word fire is the difference between animal communication and human communication, right? All right. So language, for as far as human beings are concerned, human beings are the only ones who actually have language. And what makes it language for the human being as distinct from that? There's a thing called grammar. Grammar is what makes human language what human language is. Baby talk. As I'm going to be at the party yesterday, is I'm gonna be at the party yesterday. You can keep trying to work it out if you want to, but it violates the rules of grammar. Even if I'm gonna be, and then you throw in yesterday, okay, that's where the real problem lies. Take out yesterday, is I'm gonna be at the party. Okay, we can work with that. But when you threw in yesterday, that was, how can you say, not consistent with any kind of grammar, even if we're being charitable, right? So what I'm saying is we can make the sounds, we can have the words, but if we don't say it and make the sounds in accordance with the rules of grammar for the sounds that we're making, then it will not make sense. It will not communicate meaning. In fact, the Arabic expression for that is غَيْرِ مُفِيد. غَيْرِ مُفِيد. It said, you know, there's no food in it. See, I took the sound, feed, and played with the F-E-E-D, but that's an Arabic word, غَيْرِ مُفِيد. غَيْر, it does not مُفِيد, doesn't make sense, doesn't deliver any meaning. But see, as a student of the language of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, I didn't have to stay with مُفِيد in the Arabic in order to pull out some meaning that's in the sounds themselves that matches up with the actual meaning of the Arabic word. If I give you something that has no meaning, I'm not feeding you. Allahu Akbar. But if I make sense, then you get food from it and you get nourished in the way that meaning nourishes. All right, brother and sister. The Quran has its words, and Allah has put his meanings in those words. And the Arabic language has a grammar. And when you learn the grammar of the Arabic, you can get food out of the words of the Quran. And the food that you're eating is what Allah sent for our feeding. He's not asking himself, do I want to eat from a plate that God set? Because that's what you're holding back from when you hesitate. Oh, man, I can't. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Do you know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said that there's a blessing, there's a reward in every letter of the Quran. And we're not talking about postman letter, because He made it plain. He said, Aleph is a letter. Ba is a letter. These single letters. Worlds of meaning in single letters. Fa. That's one letter. But it's also a word. Wa. One letter. But it's also a word. Meme. Letter. But it's also a word. So every time you sit down in front of the Quran, you're looking at a universe of meaning. That's not rhetorical. A universe of meaning from the Lord, cherished and sustained of all systems of knowledge. That's what you're looking at. Imagine looking at it and having no idea of what you're looking at. What does that do? It forces us to be dependent upon somebody to tell us what it says. And I might not like you. I might not have your interests at heart. I may take advantage of your ignorance and give you a meaning that's true to it, but the sense of it that I gave to you takes you to the left and not to the right. I'm going to conclude this portion of the khutbah. Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh, I got to tell you because I wouldn't be able to tell you what I'm telling you if he hadn't told me what he told me. It's this. There's a verse well worn among his community. وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ لَهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. So many people had, before the time Imam explaining these meanings to us, لَا دُنْيَا, لَا دُنْيَا, لَا دُنْيَا. They walk around telling us, you don't want none of the dunya. You don't want none of the dunya. How are you going to tell me I don't want none of the dunya and God tells me don't forget your share of the dunya? So who am I going to listen to? That's somebody and they probably got a bunch of stuff to sell you at the same time they're telling you la dunya. Hey brother, you need some of this. Well, what happened to the la dunya? Well, for other people we have higher understanding. So you have to learn how to read yourself. There's a saying, you got to get off the translation plantation. Because as long as you're on the translation plantation, you are quite potentially a slave to somebody who can read it, but you can't. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله أكبر. Only humans have language. When you understand language in that scientific way, only humans have language. What is it? They have signs and grammar. They have a system of signs and symbols and grammar. Punctuation, symbols, right? Letters are also symbols, but to stick with the idea of grammar. So we have signs and we have a system of signs and we also have grammar, human beings. Animals communicate through signals, we've already mentioned that, and they focus on concrete objects. But they don't have the ability to abstract from what it is that they see. Real quick, apples. If I see an apple, then it can mean many things to me. Right? Inside of our culture, they say, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Right? An apple for the teacher. Right? So symbolically, the iconography can be, if I see an apple sitting on top of a book, then it's communicating this apple is for the teacher, right? If I see an apple sitting on somebody's head, you know, with an arrow through it, right, then that brings in the story of William Tell, right? All these things, but a monkey or any other kind of creature, all they see in the apple is some kind of nourishment, some kind of nutrition. All right? Because their relationship to the object is immediate and concrete. But a human being can look at the apple, oh, how about an apple with a bite out of it? Not only the Macintosh, but the idea of apple with the bite out, that's a symbol, right? You got Adam's apple. These are all different ways that an apple, to use as an example. If I have a rose laying on top of a casket, it means one thing. If I see a rose laying on top of a gift wrap package, it's communicating something else. So we human beings can abstract and use objects we use concrete objects in abstract ways. All right. Because that reaches the human being. So I just talked about, you know, regret. We talked about sadness when it comes to a funeral and the like, and when we see a romance when it relates to the gift of the rose, et cetera, and then other things that the rose means. It's even tied to the word he rose, but we're not going to talk about it today. The point is that human beings can abstract. All right. The Lord who created us, brother and sister, the Lord who created us, every one of us, the Lord who created us, he said, I gave you an aspect that I didn't give to anything else in creation. And it is your intellect. I gave you an intellect. And your intellect will serve, God says, 10th chapter, 100th verse. None can believe except by the will of Allah, and he will send uncleanness on those who fail to use their brains. It's Quran. God said, you don't use your brain, your life's going to get dirty. That this Lord, علم آدم الأسماء كلها. This Lord put in us the knowledge of the nature of all things. It's in every one of us, not just the men and not just the women, not just the blacks, not just the whites. Every human being has in them the knowledge of the nature of all things. It's there as a universal seed. And out of his mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Quran. He sent revelation before, but that's the role of revelation. But he has sent the Quran, the pure, untampered revelation. What we have to do is remove the blockage so that that water can reach that original nature. And what wakes up in it is the knowledge of the nature of all things to the extent that we engage it, embrace it, imbibe it, understand it. Things wake up in us that we didn't know were there. But Allah has already given us a sign. Look, everything is there. But you have to let the revelation come in so that it can flower and blossom in you. And so one of the main purposes of language is to enable human thought. We take it for granted because we're just talking all the time. But we don't really understand language as a gift from the Creator and as a tool from the Creator for our advancement. Let's see if we can draw to at least for today. So human language is to think and be able to think abstractly. Because Allah, brother and sister, do you think Allah has some high things that he wants us to know? High things that he wants us, and this is his gift. Let me tell you about something that is very high, but which if you can grasp it, it gives you power in the world. So Allah gave us the Quran in Arabic because that language has the ability to carry heavier meanings. Allah says, soon will I reveal to you a weighty word. He said this to the prophet in the revelation. So the meanings that are in the Quran are God's meanings. God's meanings. And God said, I want to give you this as a gift. Allah, I want to give you this as a gift. And I revealed it in the Arabic. There's the package. Here, take it. Open the package up and see the gift I have given you. Brother and sister, the Big Bang Theory, quantum physics, all those things. Your little brother, mashallah, there's no boat. I can show you quantum physics in the Quran. Most of us have seen the Big Bang Theory in the Quran. That's what I'm saying, scientifically. And the world, the Arabic, I got a timer, believe it or not. The world, they call it the Arabic numeral system. Someone said, well, it's the Hindu Arabic numeral system. Shut up. It's the Arabic numeral system. Where did the sifar, the zero, who brought that on board? When y'all were using, who y'all know who y'all are. You were using Roman numerals. How can X times X equal C? How's that work? The zeros and ones that operate all the computer systems and all the algorithms that run the world right now, without that zero, you wouldn't have any of these computer artificial intelligence operations at all. The Arabs of that time, or the Muslims of that time, they weren't angels. They were human beings who could read the language. And as soon as we learn how to read the language, when you go back to Timbuktu, when you go back to Central, West Africa, etc., the advancements of the Moors, etc., that led to the discovery of the West, etc., and we were here before Columbus came, I'm going to get off of it. It's like they were human beings who were reading the Word of God and putting it to work. That same renaissance is available for us today if we just commit and submit to learning how to read the revelation of Allah. You have a capacity for thought that one without your history and experience, they can't see what you see because they haven't been predisposed in a certain way. And one of the biggest ways is distrust of this world. Trusting your own nature, trusting your Lord, and Allah will guide us to the best, inshallah. رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ أَلَا هُوَ مَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We beg your forgiveness. We beg that you purify us in our hearts, in our intention, in our worship, in our thinking. Oh Allah, bless us to humble ourselves in your presence. Bless us to humble ourselves so that we might be more accessible to your revelation, because we know that power moves along the path of least resistance. And when we are egoistic and we are arrogant, we block the ways of your revelation from reaching our hearts. Oh Allah, bless us to be purified in our hearts, in our thinking, our worship, and our ibadah. Oh Allah, increase us in taqwa, increase us in ilm, ihsan, iman, ibadah, and hukma. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Keep my business sound. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله دي برنسيسز السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين. Hey, thank you for joining us this morning for Universe in the Midst of Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we are this what we just aired was the second in a series that we've begun on Quranic Arabic, the role of Quranic Arabic. Today, we're under the title, Allah's Ideas and Information About Creation Are in the Holy Quran. And yesterday's topic was, the Quran was revealed in Arabic. So we're going to be on that for a period of time, inshallah. And it's just so much that the Renaissance awaits us doing that. It truly does. The Renaissance awaits us doing that. And there's really not a whole lot more to say about that. I have one concept that I intend to bring in principle. That is, if I'm satisfied that I brought that, then I could conclusively say, okay, well, that's the end of our day. I don't know how long that's going to take, but before I do so, remembering all of the protocols are in place still, so please respect that guideline. But we always want to hear from you to make your contribution on what's been said today and in terms of subject matter, contributions, comments, questions. Now is the time. So push one on your phone and come on through, and then we'll proceed with today's lesson. Not everybody at once now. So what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to auction my time off. Or you're still in Ramadan mode. Salamak. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and your suit radio listening audience, Mark Shaheen from the STL. Gateway City of St. Louis and Show Me State of Missouri. Want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. Just want to say, just to commend you on another outstanding khutbah, basically what I wanted to say, and We just thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we thank Allah for our Imam Worthy Muhammad. You know, and, you know, I just reflecting on what the Prophet Muhammad said in Hadith Qudsi in terms of the most useful and beneficial thing that Allah created was the human intellect. Mm-hmm. And just one qualifier to say that it is the obedient human intellect. I won't say any more. I'll stop there. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. So very true. Alhamdulillah. Any other comments, feedback? As we proceed. All right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back to my notes. Let me share. So those of you with us on Facebook and YouTube, you'll be able to see these notes. And then I have another simple PowerPoint slide that I want to share with you. I simply can't overstate the power of grasping this, right? So let's go ahead. Obviously repetition is the mother of learning. So we need to repeat some of the things that we've already said. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. An expression of it is, indeed, we have sent down as an Arabic Quran so that you can use your intelligence, right? And that's 12:2, that is Surah Yusuf, Ayah 2, and 39:28. Quran Arabiyan غير ذي إيواج لعلهم يتقون. An Arabic Quran without any deviance. There is no deviation in it. Nothing twisted. Right? Without any deviance. That they might become conscious in the way that Allah intends for them or for you to be conscious. Or is them. They said, La'alahum taqoon. So Allah said that He revealed the Quran. There's a statement that we began early in the khutbah where it said the Quran is not the Arabic. And so there naturally as should be expected, some people had made that separation. But it's right there in the revelation, inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiya, all right? That is, it's an Arabic Qur'an, all right? So that's the quality, the Qur'an, Arabic. The Qur'an is in the Arabic. It is in the Arabic. So the analogy that I landed upon that I didn't state in the khutbah is, I use the postman, the mail carrier. They deliver the letter in an envelope, right? And there's the quote-unquote, the letter is in the envelope, right? Well, you have to open the envelope to get the letter out, right? So we say we receive the letter, but the envelope is just the carrier. The envelope is just the container for the message that, and so when we say the Quran in Arabic, the Quran is in the Arabic, so you have to go through the Arabic or open up the Arabic in order to get the letter, i.e. the message, the Quran. So the Quran is the message. You have, in order to get the message out of the book, let's say, you have to go through the Arabic. But the Arabic is not the message. The message is abstract. In fact, let me go ahead and make this statement here as well. Let me make this statement so the clarity that I'm trying to achieve, let me make sure I make it. So you have the envelope and you have the letter that's inside of it. Make the separation. When I say letter, I know you're thinking about alphabets and isn't that. That could crowd into your thinking. Don't. I'm talking about a letter that is sent to someone, all right? So that letter, that's what I mean by that. But that letter is sent. It's not sent without being inside of something. It's sent in an envelope. That's how it's able to be transmitted from, you know, West Coast to the East Coast. That envelope is the vessel. Then you have the message inside that envelope. Right. All right. So the envelope is the Arabic. The letter is the Quran. The envelope is the Arabic. The message is the Quran. So the Quran is in the Arabic. But you can't get to the Quran, i.e. the message, without going through the Arabic. You have to open up the Arabic and then pull the message out of the Arabic. All right. Now, here's another thing to help with that. This is communication science. I mean, the science of information, right? The science of information. It is this. The message, I believe I'm still on screen, right? The message or the information is different than the medium through which it is transmitted or communicated. The message, I'm going to say this 3 times. This is my second time. It's critical. The message or information is different than the medium through which it is transmitted or communicated. Listen, the message or information is different than the medium through which it is transmitted or communicated. All right? The examples that we're given right there, ink, page, is different than the message that the ink communicates. It's ink on a page. Ink is ink. But when you look at the way that that ink is structured on the page, it sends a message to a literate person. It sends a message to them simply by the structure, by the patterns of the ink. The ink has a certain pattern, and then that mind looks at that pattern, and it abstracts the meaning that the ink brought when it was structured in that way. If I shape a letter in a certain way, then I'm saying something very specific with that letter. And when I line those letters up, I am creating words which themselves are different than the message that they are communicating. But they make the communication of that message possible, right? Open the door. All in ink. O-P-E-N space, T-H-E space, D-O-O-R. All right. That's ink. Ink in this shape, ink in that shape, ink in that shape. They're all different, right? The O-P-E-N. What is it speaking about? Something abstract. Something abstract. Door, what is it talking about? Yeah, that's something concrete. You can put that to it. But D-O-O-R doesn't look like the concrete door, right? Who knows what open looks like, right? I hope you understand. So the point is that the ink is not the message. The ink is not the message. The message is what the ink conveys. The ink the message is what the ink conveys. The Arabic is not the Quran. The Quran is what the Arabic conveys. So the Quran is abstract. Arabic is concrete. The letters, right? The Quran is abstract. The Arabic is concrete. All right? So Morse code, right? Morse code. So I'm talking about light, right? Light. I'm staying with what's right in front of us right here. Light. Right? So if somebody's sending a message using these flashing lights, long dash, dot, dot, dash, dot, 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 dash, dash. It's just dots and dashes, flashes of light, right? Dots and dashes, flashes of light. Is the light the message? No. The light is the light. There's no change. Every time I do a dash or I do a dot, they look all the same, not in terms of length, right? The dot, the dash, I got it. But in terms of what I'm looking at as a light, white, 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 all white light. There's a message that comes through those dots and dashes, flashes of light. Is the light and the message the same? No. The light and the message is not the same. The light is the light, and the message is what the light conveys. The message is what the light conveys. Same way with Arabic. Arabic is Arabic. Quranic Arabic, we know. When I say Arabic in these conversations, I'm not talking about any other national Arabic tongue. I'm talking about the Quran that Allah revealed, that Allah, the language that Allah revealed the Quran in. Lugata Arabia Fusa, right? So the message, then the medium. Don't go Marshall McLuhan on it. It doesn't relate to this. The medium is the message. He's talking about something else other than what we're talking about. The medium is different than the message. Allah revealed the Quran in Arabic. Arabic is the medium. Quran is the message. Ink is the medium. The meaning is the message. Light is the medium. The meaning of the flashes of light is the message. Radio waves. Radio waves. I want you to be clear. Radio waves. If you listen to a radio, hearing the message. But without the radio waves, you wouldn't be able to hear the message. Without the radio waves, you wouldn't be able to hear the message. They even call them carrier waves. Carrier waves. So the waves carry the message, just like a boat on the ocean. So the ocean is making it possible for the ships and what they carry to move from one space to the other. So the ocean becomes a carrier wave for the ship. And it delivers the ship from one shore to the other. Radio waves the same. You put your voice, you put your message on the radio waves. The radio waves carry it to the place where it's to be delivered. It's not the radio waves have meaning. It's what they carry that has the meaning, right? Same way with television signals, same way with electrical impulses, all of these things. So get this clear. So when we say that the Quran is not the Arabic, you should understand it that way. The message or the information is different than the medium through which it is transmitted or communicated. Okay, but we have to learn the medium in order to get the message. We have to learn the medium in order to get the message. So in terms of learning to read the Quranic Arabic, learning to read the Quranic Arabic is critical to being able to get the message because Allah revealed the Quran in the Arabic. I think I would be patronizing if I continue to ask to get it. I mean, I don't know how you can get it after that. But we want. So here's a statement from the Quran. Notes here about the shortcomings of translations, right? Sorry, I didn't put the actual location of this verse, but I'll find it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Oh, yeah, it's 3 verse 7. Yes. Yes, it's a very memorable one. So about the Ali Imran, 3 verse 7. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن مقمات هن أم الكتاب وأخرى متشابهات. صدق الله العظيم. It is he who sent down to you, and the reference is to Muhammad according to the translator, the book. In it are verses that are precise. They are the foundations of the book and others that are unspecific. So that's a translation. So different people translated differently. And this is what we're speaking about in terms of the shortcomings of translations. Right? Statement, every message communicated is one particular message out of a set of many possible messages, all right? So, just take anything, you know, close the door. You say, close the door, excuse me, you say, close the door, then that has a very specific message, close the door, right? And most any other message. So if Allah said, well, let's go to one that we just read. It is he who sent down to you. This is what we're reading, the expression of it, right? It is he who sent down to you, O Muhammad, the book. In it are verses that are precisely our foundation of the book and others that are unspecific. That's a translation. Allah specifically said, O الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ. He sent down upon you the book. مِنْهُ عَيَاتٌ. In it are assigned that are muhkamat, they're plain, and those are the mother of the book. They are the foundation of the book, right? That's the core of the book. That's the grounded. But then there are others that are specified, meaning. But that sentence right there is very specific. God says, I sent you a revelation with two different types of verses. Some that are plain, listen, they are the core. They are the foundation of the book. You see how even when we talk about Umul Kitab, that opens itself up for different ways of, quote unquote, translating, explaining, or messages that are conveyed by that word, Umul Kitab, those words, Umul Kitab. All right, but on first order, Allah specifically is saying something very, very concrete. That in the book are two types of verses. That's the types of verses. Yeah, they're going to be different meanings, different sets of verses and different words in there. But explicitly, this ayah is saying there's two types. So when you understand that particular message out of the set of many possible messages that someone may feel that is being conveyed, well, you got to make sure that, okay, am I getting exactly what God said explicitly right here? Not taking it any further than, what did he say? He said that. Boils down to there are two types of verses in the Quran, right? All right, and so that's the truth. That's the truth about anything. So when you talk about the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Then, and the prophet himself, he said, I have been given the Quran and something like it. I have been given the Quran and something like it. Even that, that's a message. That's a, if, and we just going to take it as a given, I have been given the Quran and something like it. So you reason from that. With the hadith, you're going to get the same kind of thing. You're going to get some that are plain, and you're going to get some that are unspecified, right? Muhtamad and mutashabih in what? In what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All right? But to begin with, in order to get it straight, you have to start with the understanding that what did he specifically say? Excuse me. Sorry about that. So with everything, so someone gives you a hadith from the Prophet, if you want to be right, then you get to, okay, you said that, okay, stop. What did he specifically say, and what does it specifically mean, or is it specific, or is it something that lends itself to multiple meanings, or did he speak and say this particular saying in an explicit way that has boundaries on it that said, don't go over here, don't go over there, I said this. Now, when somebody gives you something and they want to start reading into it, yeah, and this means, it'll stop. As soon as you start saying, and this means, you're at that point interpreting. You're at that point, and it means that's an interpretation. So we have to slow it down. Whatever it is we're talking about, we have to slow it down to understand, is that interpretation, meaning that translation, is it legitimate in the light of specificity or the lack of specificity, right? I'm trying not to go that far, but that's what we have to understand. Because when someone gives you something and they go, oh, the prophet says, and what it means is, wait. Let's be clear on what the particular message is of what you're talking about. Let's do that first, all right? And let's see that we get to the specific message, even if the specific message is such that he has specifically said that this is unspecified. Let's put it like that. If the specificity says that it is unspecified, okay, then we can speak in unspecified terms when we try to talk about what it actually means, okay. But since we understand that it is specifically unspecified and therefore we can talk about it in a multiplicity of ways, then yeah, you talk about it in your way. I may choose to speak about it in another way. It doesn't make either one of us wrong or even right per se based on the conclusion and the decision that we make about what it is that we're talking about, but at least we're speaking explicitly about the thing, starting with the hadith as an example. We're talking about the thing in a way that is justified in our mutual understanding of the specificity of it, which allows us to be in specific, meaning multiple interpretations about whatever it is we're talking about. Okay, that's fine. So we just have, all we have is a discussion, but you can't say I'm out of the fold because my interpretation is not your interpretation, because we're both dealing with something that has given us the right to be quote-unquote unspecified or unspecific or have alternate opinions or alternate interpretations or alternate understandings of it. And that's what it is. So it's like, that's fine. Let's move on. Let's move on from that. Let me give you a shot. So since I'm doing this right here, I'm speaking this way, let me give you an opportunity. Because I don't want to leave folks behind, because I do want to move on, but I don't want to leave folks behind in the process. So if you have need for clarification. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to clarify. I'm asking you if you need clarification. Blog Talk, I'm looking at the studio right now. Just press one on your phone for clarification mainly, only actually. Those of you who are with us on Facebook, YouTube, you can do that. Brother Jerome, appreciate it. You don't sound like a man, sure. I know you don't like compliments. And yes, all praise due to Allah. I just want to thank you for serving leadership. Alhamdulillah, and I pray Allah bless you and your family abundantly. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. All right, so I'm going to go back to my statements here. Let's see. All right. So we spoke about every message. Okay, so now, another verse, 39:18. This is very, 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 very important. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أولئك الذين هداهم الله. وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. Very, very important. Put this verse in a special place. All right? And, mashallah, so let's work with it. The الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ. So this is سَمَعَ, from listening, right? سَمَعَ. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. We say in our prayer all the time. Al-Qawl is saying, you know, you listen to the word, right? Listen to the word. And even that, when you say the word, when you talk about muhkamat and mutashabih, when you talk about specific and unspecific, al-qawl, so I said the word. There's a lot of ways. Well, I say a lot. Let's just talk about two of the ways. Al-qawl, the word, right? So yeah, the word. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the revelation of God. But we can also be talking about the word that a person used in a particular sentence, in a particular way. So you listen to the word. You listen to the word. Because remember, words are containers. Words are vessels. Words are the envelopes. The meaning is the letter, right? So the meaning, i.e., the meaning is the message that the word carries. Al-Qawl, and it says, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ. So this, يَتَّبِعُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we talk about bayan, right? And they say, and they seek to follow, فَتَّبِعُونَ, they're trying to follow, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ, they seek to follow أَحْسَنَهُ, they follow the excellence in it. They follow the excellence in it. So when we're looking in the word, but how do you get to it? You have to listen for it. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنُهُ. So a critical part of the message that I want to give here is, we did it, I didn't put it in my plan today, but alphabetic literacy, thank you for your patience, alphabetic literacy is relatively new in the scheme of the hundreds of millions, dead millions, in the scheme of the hundreds of millions of years that the 14 billion years that the quote unquote Earth has existed, if you will, and a universe has existed, and then the Earth short a period of time of that, and then human beings, and then Homo erectus, and then the human being as a speaking creature. I have the numbers here somewhere, but I'll just go ahead and conservatively say that the human being was an oral creature Let me see. Inshallah, because I have it in a chart. If I can find it, then I'm going to share it. Let's see. If I can't, then I have to give you kind of a, what are we talking about? No, I can't give you the time right now. But let's suffice it to say go ahead. Hagar. Allahu Akbar. That's your patience shall be rewarded. Inshallah. All right. Let me make a note to you. What I've said, 39:18. So that's the Quran. The Quran. All right. And so the Quran said the believers, that speaking of the quote unquote, the enlightened ones, they seek to hear the word and follow the excellence in it. What's the key? They seek to hear the word. They didn't say they should read the word. They didn't even say they seek to understand the word. Allah said they seek to hear the word. So let's go ahead and use this. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, in a transcription of Ash-Shams, the Enlightenment of the Soul, that he did in Little Rock, Arkansas, he says, you know that language has those subtle hints, and Allah said that man was made from clay, and Allah said from sounding clay, potter's clay that makes a sound, it rings. So the wisdom here, the guidance, the guidance is that man has to have an ear for the sound of words, how they sound. All right? So when Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ, it means that they're paying attention to the way that words sound. Right now, I want us to understand how sound, how sound, meaning how firm, how important, how significant, how sound it is for us to listen literally to how words sound. And because of our history, our human history, we were oral, meaning auditory, meaning the way that we communicated for the longest period of time as human beings. When we began to speak, it was auditory. So much investment had to be made in the particular way that sounds were made in order for us to get the message. Okay, as obvious as that may sound, the point is that it doesn't stop. The Quran incorporates, and perhaps emphatically so, the Quran incorporates the sound. This is why I'm not a masterful reader of Arabic, mashallah. It's like I'm going to do the best I can, as much as I can, but that doesn't mean just because I can't explicitly do it, because it hasn't been a focus of mine. I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you that doesn't change the fact that having the proper makhraj, having the proper recitation, and then when you understand the tilawa and the tartil, and you understand that being a qari in the proper way, it's like it is literally like playing an instrument. Playing a violin, you're playing a piano, you're playing some other instrument. It's like, no, this note has to be held long. This is a short note. There's a space of silence right here that you put in there. I'm talking about the Quran. So that's a part of the message. The way that it's recited is a part of the message. Now, MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, Allahu Akbar, it's like, yeah, there are some people, they are at that level of expertise where it's like a chef, like somebody preparing a meal, and that meal, you only have to have a certain amount of salt, a certain amount of pepper, a certain amount of, you know, this, whatever, this, yeah, but, you know, cilantro and onion and garlic and whatever else, you know. It's like you put too much in there, you probably ruin the dish. Don't put enough in there, you're probably not satisfying the dish, right? Okay. So, mashallah, this is why we have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who have and can and do. Just that. They, quote unquote, let me use the analogy, they play the Quran back to us exactly the way that Allah would have it played for us and for us to learn how to be able to listen to that. I know you're with me now. It's like somebody listening to classical music. It could be American classic, like whatever, John Coltrane, come on, just work with me. Let's move on. It's like all of whatever your classic means, right? And even the youngsters, right? The youngsters, you know, he listens to hip-hop, you know, yeah, so-and-so is a good lyricist, but, you know, he's not a good storyteller. So-and-so is a good storyteller, but he's not, you know, he's a good lyricist. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, now, if you're like me, quite possibly, it's like, man, I'm sorry. I do not get it. I don't know why y'all went. I don't know why y'all did that. But it must have been something, right? Because they speak that language, right? So it is with us, for as far as the Quran is concerned. That's an ideal. Just imagine that, and some of you no doubt, you do. So those of you who are blessed to do that, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, get with you. But the reality is that imagine being able to listen to a totally proper recitation of the Quran, the mud and the hamzas in the right place, and the kasras and the elongation and all that, and you listen and you understand. Listen, then you also understand the words that were elongated and the words that were cut off and the word. You hear that, you see that, and now you're looking into all of that. What is Allah communicating with that? Because you're hearing the word of Allah. You're hearing the word of the Creator of heaven. You know, like that movie Contact with Jodie Foster, whatever, you know. SETI, what's that? Search for extraterrestrial life in the universe or something like that. Like, so here you got this message coming from a long distance, and then, wait, there's a pattern. then you hear that pattern. So now we have in the Quran, we have a message from the Creator, Lord, cherish and sustain all systems of knowledge. In the Quran, think about it. In the Quran, it's a complete book. God, with the end of the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, close the book. Close the book. Everything that I intend to say to the human being for the rest of time is bound in this book. I get the other part. Inside that book, it's the oceans were in, the trees were picked, with seven oceans backing up, it would not conclude the words of Allah. Right? So the words of Allah are not just what's on the printed paper, right? We have the message. The word is the message that Allah intends. So it's like there's no concluding that. But in terms of concretely, abstractly, formally, in concentrated form, everything that ever needs to be said to human beings for the rest of life is already in the book. Okay. I'm going to get to that chart. Maybe you've been reading it while I've been talking. Let's say this again, or let's say this for the first time. Okay. How many letters in the alphabet? How many letters in the English alphabet? 26. I think the number is 28 or 29 in the Arabic. I know it's more than 26. I'm not being dismissive. I'm saying it's like everybody got to be. You have to be about what you're about, right? And grant to others. Okay, well that's their emphasis, and that's good. And take advantage. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing that I don't have to emphasize something because I know somebody who is emphasizing that. It's like good. So you want emphasis on that, then you need to go see so-and-so because that's what they do, right? Mm. All right. So in terms of the alphabet, look at how many books. Imagine this. How many books in the English language are there? How many books in the English language are there? You can ask somebody. Chat probably tell you something. Okay. So when you look at that number of books, I'm comfortable with saying that there are billions of books. Comfortable with saying billions of books in the English language. Okay, but how many letters in the English alphabet? So you have a limited number of letters in the alphabet, but a continuous and growing number of books in the English language. So what I'm saying is, the Quran, even though it's bound in these covers that we have, what it holds for elaboration is, when you talk about, okay, well, how many ideas are how many concepts are in the Quran? It's unlimited. It's unlimited in terms of that. So what I'm saying, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed for the last time and closed and bound the book, it's like there are 26 letters in the alphabet and how many books have come out of those 26 letters in the alphabet. You have the Quran and look at what has come. Just in our reach of history, what has come out of the Quran and consequence of the Quran, what has come out of it. And we're just getting started. All right. So, okay. So let's go back to the issue of style. So the idea when Allah is telling us to listen to the sound of words, so even our inability to be literate in it, we can still hear. We can hear the sounds of the words. And I want us to understand how powerful, how potent, how important hearing the word is. God has said it. I just read from Quran 39:18. I'm being more emphatic about it because I want us to understand the scientific foundation for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, has told us, has said, or revealed in the Quran. So let's walk through this. So let's see why the sound of words by nature carries so much weight with human beings. Why? Think about it. When you listen to the eloquent speakers of any given time, doesn't matter. I'm thinking about Thomas Paine, for example. I don't even have to deal with our eloquent, quote unquote, speakers in our modern history, in the history of the freedom movement of Bilalian. Let's go back to Thomas Paine, right? Thomas Paine said, "As for others, I know not what path others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death," right? Those are words. That's a speech, right? Not even talking about his writings, but he was very eloquent in his speech, and somebody who did not like him, I believe it was James Madison. James Madison, I think he became one of the early presidents, but he was one of the, you know, movers and shakers of the American Revolution. They could not stand Thomas Paine. But he begrudgingly, you know, had to admit, he said, were it not for the eloquence, the tongue, that is, were it not for the tongue of Thomas Paine, then the sword of George Washington would have been useless. If you didn't have the words, because now you got to play with the tongue and the sword right there in the commentary, and they knew these kinds of things, right, the association. But he's saying that if Thomas Paine's eloquence, his use for words, and how the impact of the sound of those words impacted the hearts and the minds and the spirits of his audience, then whatever George Washington was doing militarily would not have done anything. Because if you don't have the hearts and the minds of the people aligned with what your mission is, then it doesn't matter physically what you do, because people's spirit is not in it, right? So begrudgingly, James Madison had to acknowledge that the eloquence of Thomas Paine was critical. And how much do we, Bilalians now specifically, how much are we moved by eloquent speech? That's not a weakness on our part. It can be manipulated and has been, and we know that. It can be manipulated, since somebody knows, as long as I play that song for you in my voice box, then I can get you pretty much to do whatever you want. I'm talking about the criminal-minded that. But at the same time, Allah has made speech to have that kind of power. That's why you also have to have your own intellect in line so you can hear what someone said, because maybe you might need to hear the fourth tongue. You may need to hear the whispers of Shaitan. You may in his eloquence, and that's a part of the power that Shaitan also, quote unquote, was given. That the power. So I only had the power to call, and you responded. Okay, fine. Let's move on. Okay, so let's see why the sound of words by nature carries so much weight with the human being. So let's see. This is the question that we're answering with these numbers, inshallah. All right, between the origins of the universe 14 billion years ago and Homo erectus, so I'm just working with from the Big Bang up to the upright, we became Homo erectus by most estimation. Homo erectus, we became so 1.9 million years ago. 1.9 million years ago. All right, so that means that the universe existed, round figures, 13,998,100,000 years before we became Homo erectus. So that's a long time before we became Homo erectus. Now, when did human speech come in, meaning human beings using the voice and words for communication? Between Homo erectus, which was 1.9 million years ago, and stable human speech, meaning that according to the best estimates of science, we became oral. We became speakers. Say words to you and you understand words from me. That stable human speech, assuming about 50,000 years ago. Can you feel how recent that is? Can you feel how recent that is? Can you feel how long the human being was Homo erectus, but living without speech, right? That's 1.9 million years ago. So without speech, without stabilized speech, meaning that we had animal-type communication, but we were like animals in terms of the way that we were communicating. So 1,850,000 years ago, I mean, that's how long we were without stable human speech, according to scientific estimates. We were without speech for 1.885 million years. All right. So stated specifically, we became speaking creatures about 50,000 years ago. We became speaking creatures about 50,000 years ago. Next movement. From that stability of speech, meaning we started talking 50,000 years ago, oral. So we were oral, we were an oral species, quote unquote, beginning 50,000 years ago. What about alphabetic literacy? When did we start writing? Human beings, when did we start writing letters, alphabetic literacy? I talked about the English alphabet, is this hieroglyphics, whole nother story as picture language, that sign and signification, designation, and you, the common mass of people, that information was not for you. That information was for the hierophants, for those people that, well, you hear it in the word hierophants, hieroglyphics. You had to be higher in order to get that. If you ain't higher, you're not getting it, right? It's for the hierophants, right? And then you had to be hired, meaning there were people who had to spend a lifetime learning the symbol system and to be the ones who keep the record and communicate the messages, et cetera, in the glyphs, right? Let's just move on. So the point is that alphabetic literacy, even though it came about, meaning some of the earliest quote-unquote alphabet-grounded literacy, 3,700 years ago, right? So that means we were an oral species for 46,300 years, all right? So since that's the way that we communicated historically, that's the DNA, the genetic base, that's the natural inherited way of communicating, the signal critical way of communicating was oral for 46,300 years. This means as a species, we were oral, keying on only the sound of words for 46,300 years before we had any letters. That's why, I mean, to think about it, it's like, how many people are illiterate in the world right now? And you may be surprised to know how many of our quote-unquote high school graduates, those who walk across the stage, illiterate, right? So illiteracy is not an uncommon thing right now. And the way that social media and, you know, text messaging and all that is happening right now is crushing so much of the alphabetic literacy that we even had up to that point. LOL and OMG and, you know, THX, whatever. It's like, what's happening to our minds? What's happening to, when you don't speak in whole sentences anymore? You don't speak it, and the grammar is the grammar of whatever, TikTok or Instagram or what have you. You see what I'm saying? And that's what's happening. So as a species, we have had written language for only approximately 7/100 of the time that we've been oral. So that means, what is that number? 99.3% of our lifetime as a creature of speech, it has been oral. Brother and sister, this is one of the reasons why readers are leaders. Others are still focused on just understanding what they hear. All right? For Quran, God is telling us, yes, you seek it, but you're seeking to hear the word of God, right? So when you hear the word of God and you abstract the meaning from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to our ears and our hearts, etc., then, okay, now that's the empowerment. Okay, I gotta now I can go to the next thing and close out. Okay, so I hope we got that. So now let's conclude this morning with this other matter. So where are we going? Let's check that out. All right. All right. Okay. Here's the diagram. What are we trying to get to? We want to understand, we want to believe, we want to embrace, we want to accept that the Creator, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the systems of knowledge, the one who created this quote-unquote universe that we're in, the one we just talked about that's 14 billion years old, and all of the potential in it, he has put his information in the Quran and sent it to us. That's what we have, right? Let's just understand the process. So just looking at any communication system, it operates like this. There's the input, and that input is put, quote unquote, into an encoder. Encoder is saying that, okay, this is what we're going to use. We're communicating to another entity or what have you, and we're using this encoding table. We talked about alphabets, so he got A, B, right? These letters in computer code, they are ones and zeros, right? So an A may in computer language be 1000001, and B in computer language may be 1000010, and then you go on so forth with C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, blah, blah. And you write words based on the pattern of numbers, and you string them together, and so those become the sentences in computerese. That's my word. All right, so once the person has an input in mind, then they know the table that they have to use, and so they encode their message, and now their output immediately is a particular code, which is like, okay, this is the letter that I wrote, this is the meaning that I'm sending, so I've gotten all my letters lined up, and I've created all my words, blah, 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 and that represents the code. Okay, so then I send that code to the decoder, and in this case we're talking about the receiver, somebody who receives. I decided what I wanted to say. I knew the language I had to say it in, so I devised my letter, I devised my message, and so now I complete my message, which is now in code. This is inside of a computer in this particular example, and so I send it to the decoder, meaning that is going to unravel, let's call it, unravel my message. I put the message together in a language that the decoder can understand. So when the decoder receives the message, then it just opens the letter. Okay, I hope you're with me. It just opens the letter. Oh, okay, well, this is what he's saying. All right? And then it outputs what this is what comes out. Okay, the encoder encodes what they want to say, put it in a message form. Then they send it to the one that's going to be the receiver. Then the receiver decodes the code. And then there's output that comes in consequence of the decoding of the code that the encoder coded. Okay? All right. That's the mechanics of it, right? Okay, now let's elaborate here. So you start at this end. We're saying there's an intention and there's information that's possessed by the sender. We're starting at the sender. And yes, in this case, we're trying to get us to understand that Allah is the sender. Allah is the sender. So Allah has an intention and he has information that he wants to send. All right? And so that becomes his input, right? So the input is required of the sender is alphabetic literacy. All right? So we're talking about God, right? What is Allah's alphabetic literacy? This is, inshallah, we get to, mashallah, alhamdulillah, this nabos, it's already written, mashallah. The idea is Allah created the lughat al-arabiyya fusha, that language that language that conveys Allah's meaning is the original, classical, ancient Arabic, right? Yeah, people, mashallah, no disrespect intended at all, but people make a big deal out of Sanskrit. It's written in Sanskrit. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wonderful, beautiful, good. But it's no comparison to the lughat al-arabiyya fusha, the ancient Arabic that Allah himself grew like a vegetable in the garden on the planet Earth, a language equipped to be able to hold his ideas and information. Really got to get that straight. Yeah. So the alphabetic literacy is not only just to say, you know, not only does Allah know what he needs to know in order to encode his message, he created the language for the encoding of his message, God messages. Allah created a language for God messages. Hebrew don't do it the same way. Hebrew does what it does. Sanskrit does what it does. Whatever else. Greek, Latin, none of them do what Quranic Arabic does for information. Allahu Akbar. All right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by that means, remember, means the medium, right? So the competence in the medium for the message. Do you think Allah knows? Do you think Allah knows? Yeah, we don't even need to joke with it anymore. It's like, look, I created this language for the purpose of carrying the information that I intend to reach the human being. That's what Allah did when he created. So the Arabic was ready. It was ready. And then with the birth and the life of the body, heart, mind, spirit of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, in that space and at that time, then Allah sends his messenger, the angel, with the message that Allah intends to be in the world, he sends it to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And you know the verse. The verse where it says, hasten not your tongue to be quick with it. No, just listen. Be patient. We're going to reveal it. We're going to preserve it. We're going to promulgate it. We're going to protect it. Muhammad is just an envelope again in that sense. Like you just be the vessel. And we're going to put it in you and you won't forget it. Right? So this is all from the input side, right? So Allah has his intention. He created the language for it. Nobody knows as he knows the language that he created, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So he encoded the message in a language that was communicable to the people that he wanted the message to reach. So then he sent the message, right? Now here's Muhammad. He's the Quran walking, right? He's the Quran walking. So he sent the message. We talked about Jibreel, and we talked about Muhammad receiving it from Jibreel, but it's Allah communicating it, just like I'm talking to you right now. Your computer, if it's in good shape, is not garbling or not changing anything that I'm saying, what have you. You're getting exactly what I'm saying almost immediately as I'm saying it. Okay, well, same way. The angel Jibreel, nothing but a medium. It's not interrupting, it's not changing, it's not blurring, it's not deviating, it's not twisting, it's just coming straight through as Allah intends. So the angel and the prophet, they're all pure. Allah pure, angel pure, Muhammad pure. What's in the book is purely what Allah intended, right? And so upon the structure of the letters, the language, et cetera. So you got that. Okay, now the decoder is now the receiver. That's like you and me, right? You and me. If we stay historically with what we're saying, then you have the Arabs of the prophet's time. The Arabs of the prophet's time, and there's a whole lot to be said that's coming in the series as we go. But the issue of eloquence and Arabic is a critical thing because it's just the original Arabic, that original classical Arabic. And even though the grammar had not been fixed for the language, you have to understand that history, Allah fixed the grammar for that language that the ancient Arabs were speaking. Allah fixed the grammar. Allah gave the grammar for that language in the revelation of the Quran. Before that time, it had no grammar. It's going to take time to explain it when we get to it. Imam explains it. It explains it very, very much so. So, hold on. All right. So you had those Arabs, and of course, there are many, many beautiful stories about those who were skilled in the language, and when they were confronted with what the Quran revealed, some that state that these are not the words of men. They were just so overwhelmed by what they were reading, what they saw, what they heard. These are not the words of men. There were others who were just totally frightened by what the prophet was saying when he was expressing to them what Allah has revealed in the Quran. It was just threatening them. It was just overpowering them. In this instance, and I'm thinking of, there was a please stop, stop, stop. It's like it's just too much, right? Because those who understood the power of the language and felt the power of the language and heard the power of the language, it came through to them. And so the decoder. This is our situation now, meaning now the Quran has come to us. It has reached us, right? It hasn't been diminished in its power and its potency or anything like that. It full power, the Quran in its full power, that's what we're in possession of right now, right? what we lack is the competence in the medium for the message. That's what we lack. We lack the competence in the medium for the message is right there. It's right there. It's right there. But you have to be able to open the envelope of the Lughat al-Arabiya Fusha in order to get the Quran out. That's it, brother and sister. But if you haven't read beyond that, if you can't open the Arabic of the Quran, then you still haven't touched the message of the Quran. Yes, translations can give us a taste. That's what most of us have been living on. We've been living on translation. That shows you the power of the Quran right there. Look what the Quran is doing to us, doing for us, doing through us with translations, right? All right. But now let's say that we do acquire that competence in the medium for the message, i.e. Lughat al-Arabiya Fusha, Quran. Then what that does, it gives us the capability to benefit from the intention and the information from the sender. Who is the sender? Allah. Just think about it. MashaAllah, may Allah guide us to the best. May Allah protect us and preserve us. May Allah help us. May Allah purify our hearts and make us more and more competent and open to it, because he's given us everything necessary for the fulfillment of our lives, right? But we have to increase our competence in the medium for the message. But when we do, we will then have the capability to benefit from what the sender sent. And that the Renaissance and all the other great things and the golden age of Islam and all the other things that we glory in for the history of Al-Islam, it is to be attributed specifically to their grasp and competency of the original language of the Quran applied problems and circumstances, etc., and applied to the opportunities and the possibilities of their time. That's what we have to do. We do that, inshallah, then we'll begin to see the Renaissance in our time. So that's going to be it for us today, dear brothers and sisters, to a couple of these messages, and then we're going to move on. Alhamdulillah, Jerome, we've got you. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Hajja Zakiya. Alhamdulillah. Ahmed Durrani. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Brother Anthony. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Are the notes available for download? No, they're not, but the best I can recommend is you can get, you have YouTube, which it seems you are on YouTube. One thing I can say is go back, do screenshots. Go back, let's do it, do screenshots, and you can have the notes there. There's an app, I don't know, GLASP. I think it's called GLASP, G-L-A-S-P. I think it's on Google. I'm using it right now, Chrome. I think Google Chrome. And it'll actually do transcriptions for you. So you listen to a YouTube and you have this, what do you call it, extension? You have this extension on your Chrome, I don't know what those is. Safari, those is bad grammar. Let's go with that. So, and then you can get translations, transcriptions, I should say, and also screenshots. That's about the best I can say right now. Hakim, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I was enjoying some of your music the other day, my brother. Keep up the good work, man. Spread the word, spread the message through that medium, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, Fakir, Bashir. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Khadija, Daniel, Provincia, alhamdulillah. A flow chart, okay. Alhamdulillah. And Hakim again, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Check. All right, so that's going to be it for today. Thank you for your time, your presence, your attention. May Allah guide us to the best, forgive us our shortcomings, and make us more competent in his revelation so we can do more to build Ummah in our time. God's peace be on all. Everybody have a wonderful day. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.